Okay, so we're learning the Gemara on Daf Chof Hey Amud Aleph. Remember the Cheshbon, just to remind ourselves. There is a Machlokes as to whether there is a Machlokes. That's the simple summary of the Gemara so far, i.e., the Tanakhama said that Mesachik B'Kuvya is possible, and Rabbi Yehuda said, Amosai, when does that apply? Only if he has no other profession. If he has another profession, then he is kosher. And the question is Rabbi Yehuda coming to explain? Is he coming to explain the opinion of the Tanakhama, or is he in fact coming to disagree? And we saw two opinions. We're not going to get involved with all the different names and the various sides, but suffice to say that there's a machlokes as to whether there's a machlokes. So what we're dealing with now is there's definitely one side of the coin that tells us that in fact there is no machlokes. Remember, there was an opinion that says that whenever Rabbi Yehuda says Amosai, then he's actually not coming to disagree at all. He's just coming to explain. And that is the opinion that we're trying to deal with. Why? Because if you tell me that there is no machlokes whatsoever, no machlokes, and Rabbi Yehuda is merely coming to explain the opinion of the Tanakhama, so it turns out, according to that, there is no machlokes in the Mishnah, and everybody agrees, Mesachik B'Kuvya is possible only in the event that he has no other job. But if he has another profession, then he is kosher. That's what's emerging at this stage of the game. Why is that problematic? Because the Gemara brought a braisa that said, let's have a look at this again. The Gemara, it's the fifth line at the top, first word, umar. The Gemara says towards the middle of that line, v'loi pligi, are you telling me that there's no machlokes? Everybody agrees that he's only possible if there's no other profession. V'hotanya, but we have a braisa that says, Bein sheyesh loy umnus sheloy hu, whether he has a profession besides for that, Bein she'ein loy umnus elohu, or his only profession is that, either way, har is apostle. So we clearly have a braisa that says that he is possible under all circumstances. Now, who is the author of that braisa? Well, obviously, it's not Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda differentiates between whether he does or doesn't have a profession. And his braisa does not differentiate, because his braisa says you're possible under all circumstances. So who's talking? So obviously, it must be the Rabbanon. It must be the first opinion. And you see quite clearly, therefore, that there must be a machlokes. And this is clearly the opinion of the Rabbanon. Rabbanon hold that Mesachik B'Kuvya is possible under all circumstances, whether he has a profession, whether he doesn't have a profession, he's always possible, must be for the reason we said before, because of Asmachta, Loikanya, nothing to do with Yeshuvon Shel Olam, which would therefore make it depend on whether he does or doesn't have a job. No. This braisa says he's possible under all circumstances. So it's quite clear that there definitely is an opinion out there that says that it all depends on Asmachta. And if Asmachta is not koina, so he's considered a type of, albeit not complete, but a type of ganav, and under all circumstances he's possible, that must be the pshat in this braisa, which therefore leads us to the inescapable conclusion. This must be the Rabbonon talking. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. So how can you tell me that there's no machlokes? To which the Gemara answered, and this we began seeing yesterday, that no, we're going to now bring a third opinion to the table. Or at least another opinion. Says the Gemara, Hahi Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rab Tarfainhi. If you want to know who authored this braisa, it's in fact Rabbi Yehuda, following the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. In our Mishnah, the Gemara still maintains that there is no machlokes in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda is coming to explain the opinion of the Tanakhama. How many opinions are there in our Mishnah? Only one. There is no machlokes. Everybody would agree that you're only possible if you have no other profession. It all depends on that. So what about this braisa? This braisa says it does not depend on whether you have a profession or not. In any case, you're possible. That's a different opinion, and that's Reb Tarfon. It's Reb Yehuda in the name of Reb Tarfon. Now, what did Reb Tarfon say? So Reb Tarfon said, "La'olam ein echad mehem nozir." Neither of them are a nozir. Remember, we introduced this yesterday. Naziris has to be taken effect through hafla'a. Hafla'a means enunciation. If there was no clear enunciation, then as far as I'm concerned, says Reb Tarfon, neither of them are a nozir. Now, what does that mean, neither of them? What's the case? What are we talking about? Let's have a look at Rashi. Says Rashi.
I just want a clarification. Something that's so confusing. For those that have the opinion that no matter what your puzzle, like the Bryce or whatever, how do they explain what's written clearly in the Mishnah? Amosai, if he has an umnus, then he's not puzzle. How do they get over that?
They don't. They said, I'm explaining a different opinion. That's Rabbi Yehuda. I'm explaining the opinion of the Tanakhama.
No, so they don't agree with the Mishnah?
They do. They're explaining the opinion of the Tanakhama, not Rabbi Yehuda.
Mishnah clearly states that if you have an umnus, you're not posel.
That's only according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the first opinion disagrees. So they're explaining the first opinion.
And what would the second opinion say about what it says clearly in the Mishnah, but verbatim?
Again, it's a machloikus in the Mishnah, whether it does or depend on having another profession. When our Gemara said it's all dependent on Masachik Bekuvia is asmachta loikanya, he's coming to explain the first opinion in the Mishnah and not Rabbi Yehuda. He might well agree that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's all dependent on Yishuvon Shel Oilom. He's coming to explain the first opinion. Let's have a look at Rashi now. Hahi de Rabbi Yehuda hi mishum Rabbi Tarfon. Says Rashi, fourth line. La Oilom, really, Amosai, quote unquote, that word Amosai is lefaresh hu. We can quite happily learn that word Amosai means that Rabbi Yehuda is coming to explain the first opinion. The Rabbonon de Masnisin and the Rabbonon in our Mishnah, Loi Pligi Oleho. And the Rabbonon in our Mishnah do not disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. It might well be that all opinions in the Mishnah agree that in fact it depends on whether you do or don't have another profession. Umasnisa, not the Masnisin, which is the Mishnah, but the Masnisa, the Braisa that we just brought now, the Ktoni that clearly states otherwise, and it says, Bain Sheyeshloy, etc., etc., whether you do or don't have another profession makes no difference. The Mashma, where over there the implication is clearly Tama, that the reasoning is Mishum Asmachta, comma. That it all depends on asmachta, you're not koinah, if it's irrelevant whether you have another profession. That's another opinion. That is Rabbi Yehuda Gufei Omro, that's Rabbi Yehuda himself saying it. Mishmei de Rabbi Tarfon. In the name of Rabbi Tarfon, upli polig, and that Rabbi Tarfon disagrees adrabonon de masnisin. They disagree. Rabbi Tarfon disagrees. He argues with the Rabbonin in our Mishnah. The Tamayuhu, because the reason behind the Rabbonin in our Mishnah is Mishum Yishuv. It's all based on Yishuv Ha'olam. Uba Mesnisin, and in that Mishnah, what is Rabbi Yehuda coming to do? Rabbi Yehuda milsayhu de Rabbonon. It's the opinion of the Rabbonon comma faresh that he is explaining. So, in our Mishnah, we can quite happily learn that there's no machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda is not coming to disagree. To the contrary, he's coming to explain that Rabbonon only disqualified a Masachik Bekuvia if he has no other profession. If he has another profession, he's okay. I.e., what is the psul? Nothing to do with asmachta. It's all based on Yishuv Ha'olam. That's how you could learn the Mishnah. What about the Braisa that we just brought that seems clearly to say differently? Because it says you're always posel. You're right. There's no point trying to reconcile the Mishnah with the Braisa. The Braisa is a different opinion. The Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Tarfoin. Rabbi Tarfoin is the big Asmachta man. Is the big Asmachta man. Next Rashi will explain it, but let's just outline the picture over here. If Rabbi Tarfoin goes with Asmachta, then as we said, Asmachta is Loikanya. And if Asmachta is not Koina, so you're considered a type of Ganav, whether you do or don't have another profession. That is the Braisa. Whereas the Mishnah is a different opinion. The Rabbonon are being explained by Rabbi Yehuda. There's no machloikas in the Mishnah, according to the opinion we're now mentioning now. It's all Toila, nothing to do with Asmachta, but rather Yishuv Ha'olam is the guy familiar with the comings and goings of monetary issues. Well, that depends on does he have another profession or not. That's the Mishnah. Now, we need to add one more line by way of introduction to see the next Rashi. You'll remember that again, we had a machloikas, why is Mesachik B'Kuvya Apostle? Is it because of Asmachta or is it because of Yishuv Ha'olam? But you remember the Gemara explained the opinion that says it's because of Yishuv Ha'olam. Why did he not go with Asmachta? What's wrong with Asmachta? After all, Asmachta lo yikanya. And Rashi explained for us because he agrees it's true, you're quite right that Asmachta lo yikanya, but this is not an Asmachta. Why not? So let's remind ourselves again, because this is a critical introduction before we see the next Rashi. What's the underlying principle of Asmachta? I am committing myself to do something, but I don't really mean it. There is no Gemar Das. So if I say to you, okay, it's your opinion, it's your birthday tonight, I'm giving you $100. I have no reason to say that he didn't mean it. Why should he not mean it? So you have every right to come to me and say, well, can you please pay me the money? After all, you committed to pay, so it's mine. Yes, everybody would agree to that. But you remember we had a case where you say, if I don't show up to work today, then I'm going to give you $1,000. That is an asmachta, because I didn't mean it. Why didn't you mean it? Because there are circumstances within my control, or at least I thought they were, and I was planning on coming to work. And when I said to you that if I don't come to work, I'm going to give you $1,000, I didn't dream in a million years that that would actually happen. There was no Gemara Das, and if that's called an Asmachta. But what about Mesachik B'Kuvya? So Mesachik B'Kuvya, one opinion in our Gemara said, that's not called an Asmachta. Do you know why it's not an Asmachta? Because everybody knows that when you throw the dice, these are circumstances not in your control. So how can you say, well, to be perfectly honest, I had no real tzad of paying you at all. What do you mean you had no tzad? You knew jolly well that it's a 50-50. Is the dice going to land on your numbers or not? And you still committed yourself. So you can't say you're not serious. You can only say that you're not seriously committing when the circumstances are within your control. So when I say to you, if I don't show up to work today, I'm going to give you $1,000. You didn't really mean it because you were absolutely planning on coming to work. An unfortunate accident happened, which was totally unexpected. And in the end, indeed, he didn't come to work. Says the boss, okay, you owe me $1,000. You committed. To which he turns around the employee and says, I didn't commit. I didn't mean it. What do you mean you didn't mean it? You said if you don't come, you're going to pay. Prove to me that you didn't mean it. Well, I can prove it to you, because these are circumstances which ordinarily will be within my control. I was planning on coming. Therefore, I didn't really commit myself. But when I throw a dice and I say, if it's 1, 2, 3, I'm the winner. If it's 4, 5, 6, you're the winner. You can't say, well, I didn't really mean it because I was planning on my numbers coming up. But you can't plan that. It's a total, literally, throw of the dice. It's a 1 in 2 chance. So therefore, the Gemara says that's not considered an asmachta, and that's why he had to go for a different reason called Yishuv Ha'olam. What, however, did the other opinion hold? Meaning there was an opinion that says that the reason behind our Mishnah is indeed because of asmachta. So he clearly does not differentiate between a case where the circumstances are in my control, they're not in my control, it's all irrelevant. That's what's turning out. That's the machloikas between Rami Bar Choma and Rav Sheshes. So now let's come back to our story. We are at the moment in Rav Sheshes' camp. Rav Sheshes is learning the Mishnah all about Yishuv Ha'olam. According to who? Everybody. There is no machloikas. Nobody in our Mishnah holds asmachta. Aren't there two opinions? No. When Rabbi Yehuda said, Amosai, he's coming to explain the opinion of the Tanakhama. Fine. Ask Rav Sheshes, why are you going for Yishuv Ha'olam? Why are you ignoring the opinion of Asmachta? No, because our Mishnah is not an Asmachta. Masachik Bekuvia is not considered an Asmachta for reasons we just mentioned. Fine. What was the big question? I'm sorry to tell you, Rav Sheshes, we've just discovered another Braisa that says that what? The Masachik Bekuvia is possible under all circumstances, whether you have another profession or not. What does that show us? That what is the psul because of Asmachta? The answer is, you're right, that's Rav Tarfoin. Rav Tarfoin is the big Asmachta man. He's the opinion that holds that Asmachta Noikanya, whether the circumstances are in your control or not. Yes, I admit, he certainly goes with Asmachta. And he therefore would say you're possible in all cases, whether or not he had another profession would all be irrelevant. But don't ask me how does that fit in with the Mishnah, because it doesn't. That's a different opinion, and that opinion is Rav Tarfoin. Now, how do we know that Rav Tarfoin is the big Asmachta man? And the answer is, he's talking about Nazirus. So now, with that introduction, have a look at this beautiful Rashi.
Now, quick question. Are you allowed to disagree with a Mishnah? Is a Mishnah up for those that in Torah that will say, well...
Only if it's another Tana. Only if it's another Tana. Rav Tarfoin is a Tana. He's allowed to disagree. Rav Tarfoin is a Tana. Rami Bar Choma is not. Rav Sheshes is not. They're all Amoraim. Rav Tarfoin is a different opinion. He's another opinion of the Tana. So have a look at Rashi. Ein echod mehem nozeh. Neither of them are a nozeh. What does that mean? What was the story? Here comes the story. Shnayim yoishvim. Two people are sitting next to each other on the park bench, Ruvain and Shimon. Ve'echod oiver. And one, Levi, third guy, passes in front of them. Ze oimer, one of the two people sitting on the park bench, Ruvain, says, Ploini ha'oiver nozir hu, quote unquote. Ruvain says, I claim that this guy who just walked in front of us, I claim he's a nozir. How do I know? I know. Okay. Ve ze oimer, but Shimon disagrees. And he says, Einoi nozir, quote unquote. No, I disagree. I happen to know that he's not a Nazir. Okay, we'll have to agree to disagree. Ruvain claims that he is a Nazir. Shimon claims he's not a Nazir. And obviously, they both claim that they are correct. Now, Va'omar Echod, and one of them, meaning the first guy, Ruvain. Remember, Ruvain was the one who said that what? That this guy is a Nazir. Va'omar Echod, Hareini Nazir. I hereby declare that I am a Nozir, if indeed, Kamoisoi, who Shehu Nozir. If indeed I'm correct, then this guy is a Nozir. I claimed that Levi, the guy who just walked in front of us, is a Nozir. I say, I'm hereby accepting upon myself, am I undertaking Nazirus? But it's contingent on the fact If indeed I am correct, that this Levi fellow was a Nozir. If I'm right, then I'm a Nozir too. Okay. How did his friend respond? The Chaver Omar and the friend, remember Shimon, he was the one who claimed that he's not a Nozir, and he said exactly the same thing. The Chaver Omar, quote unquote, Hareini Nozir, I undertake Nazirus, im kamoisai hu, if indeed I am correct, Shein Nozir. If indeed Levi is not a Nozir, as indeed I claimed, if in fact I am correct, then I am Makabel Nazirus. Okay, so what's the story so far? Reuven and Shimon watch this guy Levi. Reuven says he is a Nozir. And if I'm correct, then I'm a Nozir as well. Shimon says, no, he's not a Nozir. And if I'm correct, then indeed I am. So they've both undertaken Nazirus, but they made it conditional on what? Whether their opinion is correct, whether this Levi guy is or isn't a Nozir. Now, we're not talking about liars over here. Reuven maintains that his facts are correct. Shimon maintained that his facts are correct. So when they both said that I'm undertaking Nazirus, contingent, dependent on me being correct, do we all agree that that means that essentially I want to be a Nozir? Essentially, I want to be a Nozir because I maintain that I happen to know that he is a Nozir. Or Shimon says, I maintain I happen to know that he's Nozir Nozir. So based on the fact which I claim is correct, I'm accepting Nazirus. Says Rashi, therefore, Vishnehem Mischavnim L'Nazirus. Well, clearly, both of them are absolutely intending to undertake Nazirus. They're making a contingent on their opinion being correct, but they maintain that their opinion is indeed correct. What happens now? V'nimtza ke'echad mehem. Now, they can't obviously both be right. Either Levi is a Nozir or he's not a Nozir. So one is right and one is wrong. So v'nimtza ke'echad mehem. It turns out that only one of them is correct. Now let's stop. If we would be asked this Shaila, what would we paskin? Of the two, Reuven and Shimon, how many of them are now Nazirim? So we would have said, one of them. The one whose opinion turned out to be correct, whether Levi was a Nozir or not a Nozir, it doesn't matter. Whoever's opinion was correct, he was the one who said, I'm undertaking Nazirus, dependent on me being correct. Fine, so whoever's correct should be a Nozir. And whoever was disproven, turned out not to be correct, will not be a Nozir. So we all would have said that what? One is a Nozir, the other one is not. And guess what? The Omer Reb Tarfoin Ein Echod Mehen Nozir. Reb Tarfoin says, you know which one is a Nozir? Neither of them. Why? She'al hasafek omar dvarov tchila. Because his whole words, his whole acceptance, let's call it hafla'o, his whole enunciation was all based on a safek. He did not say, I hereby declare to be a Nozir. What did he say? I hereby declare to be a Nozir if, capital I, my opinion about this Levi fellow is correct. So you made your Nazirus contingent on a suffix, 50-50. The Ein Zu Hafla'o. That, says Reb Tarfon, as far as I'm concerned, is not considered Hafla'o. What does that mean, Hafla'o? Quote, unquote, Dechi Yafli Ish, quote, unquote. When the Torah says Yafli, you've got to enunciate Yafarish Mashma. The implication is it's got to be absolutely explicit and clear. If I accept upon myself Nazirus in an unclear manner, that's not called haflaw. That's not called clearly enunciated. Okay. End of opinion of Reb Tarfon. What's that got to do with our sugya? Rashi continues. Alma, what do you see from over here? Alma Reb Tarfon, you see, and according to Reb Tarfon, Dechi, when Toli Tanoa, when he depends his condition, Bemidi, on a matter, Delav Biyode, which is not within his control, Velo Yodalo, and he does not know, cannot know with absolute certainty. When this guy said, Levi is a Nazir, Levi is not a Nazir, that there's nothing I can do about it. These are circumstances not in my control. I cannot dictate whether Levi is or isn't a Nazir. I can, might have a proof, I might have my facts, but it's not within my control. That's not like the case of, if I don't show up to work, I'll pay you the money. That is within my control. Here, what did I say? I maintain Levi is a Nazir, or I maintain Levi is not a Nazir. Okay, it's a throw of the coin. You have no idea, essentially. You cannot really know, and it's definitely not within your control. So what would we have said? Is that an asmachta or not? Says Rashi, afilu hochi, nonetheless, havya asmachta. That's nonetheless considered an asmachta. Why are we saying that he's not a Nazir? Ah, he didn't really mean it. It's not proper haflo'ah. What do you mean he didn't really mean it? Do you know why he didn't really mean it? Because I can't honestly know with 100% certainty whether somebody else is a Nazir. I might think I know, but I cannot know. V'afilu hochi hava asmachta, it's nonetheless considered an asmachta. V'loyom rinon. And we don't say that misfeka, because there is this doubt, gomar va'akni, he had gemiras das to absolutely be certain he's accepting this naziras. No. So what do you see from Reb Tarfon? Reb Tarfon is the big asmachta man. And Reb Tarfon holds that even when you're talking about circumstances not in my control, nonetheless, if I'm committing to something, whether it's to pay money or whether it's to be a Nazir, it makes no difference, whatever my commitment is. But if my commitment is based on something not within my control, that's still considered an asmachta. That's still considered an asmachta. So now let's come back to Masachik Bekuvia. Masachik Bekuvia, we said our circumstances not in my control. And we had a discussion, is that called an asmachta? Is it not called an asmachta? Reb Tarfon, what would Reb Tarfon say about that case? Reb Tarfon would clearly say, yes, that's an asmachta. It's true, it's circumstances not in my control, but it's exactly the same case as Nazir. A Nazir is also not my, it's not my control to dictate whether somebody else is a Nazir. And nonetheless, what would Reb Tarfon maintain? But that's considered an asmachta. Therefore, what would he hold by with regard to Masachik Bekuvia? That's also considered an asmachta. And he would be possible in all cases, whether he does or doesn't have another profession is all irrelevant. And therefore, in the final analysis, Rav Sheshes learns our Mishnah as being dependent on Yishuv Ha'olam. Therefore, it would depend on whether you have another profession. We brought a braisa that says, no, you're possible in all cases. Yes, that's a different opinion. That's Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon is the big asmachta man. That's why you see that this whole acceptance of Naziris fell through. You didn't really mean it. And if you didn't mean it for Nazir, neither did you mean it when throwing a dice. And therefore, asmachta loy kanya, and you're possible in all cases. Yes, Reb Larry, very, very quickly, I've got to leave. I've got to
okay, there's a difference in the two cases. In the case of Reb Tarfon with the Nazir, he either is a Nazir or isn't a Nazir. You have a lack of knowledge. It's not right. Like something hasn't happened yet. You just haven't investigated enough. If you investigate correctly, you'll find out whether he is or not. In the case of the Kuvia of playing dice, it hasn't happened yet. So there's nothing.
Right, but the common denominator is whether I can investigate or can't investigate. At the time that I committed myself, it's a Sophic. I do not know. And I've already, I didn't inquire, investigate, and then accept the Naziris. I accept the Naziris before I inquire. At that stage, it's a Suffolk. And if it's a Suffolk, says Reb Tarfon, you didn't really mean it.
It's a Suffolk in my mind, but it's really not a Suffolk because he either is a Nazir or he isn't a Nazir.
I've got no idea whether this guy is truly a Nazir or not. It's not within my control to dictate whether it was. It's true, I can investigate. But at the
Right,
time
before I
at
go
the
ahead,
time that I
what
accepted my naziras, I had no idea whether he's a nazir or not. 50-50, in which case that's not a commitment. You'll excuse me, I've got to run. I'm gonna be late
All
for
right.
this bris otherwise, but we'll resume tomorrow, Mitzvah. Okay.